The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this episode are that of the guest and host and do not necessarily reflect the values of sponsors or other associated organizations. Welcome to the Parental Compass by Family Education and Support Services. I'm your host, Bobby Williams. If you're already a listener, you know the drill. Please subscribe to the show. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review on Apple. I'm very excited about this episode's guest, Mr. David Lewis. David is a psychologist who teaches at the University of Washington. He was also the behavioral health director for Seattle Public Schools, a department that he created, major school district. He knows his stuff. So today we're talking about parenting styles. And what I appreciated about this conversation is David gave a very whole person perspective. Your parenting style isn't bad. There's ways that it serves you, but here's a few ideas to consider and why it matters. So buckle up. We are going on an approachable intellectual journey. Let's dive in. When you look back on your life, what style of parenting do you think your parents had? And what kind of impact did that have on you as a young person or even an adult today?
Yeah, good question. I had two different parenting styles in my household. Okay. And I believe my father, who was previous military, had a style that was more authoritarian. And from that, I do think I had and understood where the lines were drawn and what the structure and consistency were in the household. And then my mother, who I ended up spending the later part of my childhood with, because my father passed away when I was age 15, I believe she was more authoritative. So I believe she was the warm demander. And I think some combination of the two worked out well for me. But I would say now, myself as a parent, I lean more towards my mom's style, which is the balance between being authoritative or lenient, which makes me, or between being more authoritarian like my father or lenient, and being able to balance the both of those and go, hey, you know, I love you. And I love you so much that you're going to have this bedtime and you're going to eat your vegetables and all these other things because I care about you. And that's the expectation I'm setting. And so I think having that as an example, looking back and reflecting on my childhood, the experience of experiencing both and just how that benefited me in given areas has shaped who I am as an adult overall and also as a parent.
I look back on my parents and I think sometimes they're more passive.
Yeah.
That's kind of something I struggle with now as an adult. Just like you were saying, it takes a lot of energy. I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Stepdaughter is playing video games all day, particularly Baldur's Gate. That's a big one right now. And it's like, okay, you have responsibilities. You got other things to do. You have homework. But when I try to talk to her about it, I'm just getting back talk. And eventually it's just like, okay, whatever, you know, like just play the game.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's a better way I could be handling this.
Yeah. And you know what I say to that, even when I was describing the different styles, is none of them make anybody a bad parent or a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a given time and place, it is easier to not have the power struggle and give in where things don't seem to impact things, you know, negatively as much. But if it comes to video games or social media, which is big right now, I think this is where you have two sides of being a parent. Okay. Well, there's multiple sides, but if we were to talk about two umbrella sides of this, you have the relational side, which is the warmth. And then the demand side is sort of what are the expectations? What are the rules, if we were to say that, in our household, and where do these two things meet? And so Setting the expectation would be ahead of time, letting the child know what is expected, how and when it comes to the video games. And now that you've done that, now they have some choices to make. And if I were to just throw out a blanket example, if video games is 90 minutes a day, and we know that from school till bedtime, we have a certain number of hours, that's the expectation. And there's certain periods of time where they could fit that 90 minutes in, and maybe that's left up to them, but it's 90 minutes. And because you understand that, and that's what the expectation is for various reasons, I'm going to hold you to that. And I'm going to hold you to that so that you can make sure you have your nutritious dinner and that bedtime to keep you on track. And I think the combination of those two could not always eliminate, but at least decrease those opportunities for power struggle.
Well, it seems like clear expectations and boundaries is always important. And isn't it kind of the teenager's job to push against those boundaries? Or do you think eventually you just get in a good rhythm and it's good, or?
Well, I use this analogy. You know, we all know what the expectations are with the speed limit because it's posted everywhere. But even us as adults, how many of us push that a little bit at a given place or time? And every so often, there'll be a camera light or somebody that lets us know that the line really is there. So that applies to us as adults, and even more so to that developing brain of an adolescent or a teenager. They're going to take on figuring out how set is that line and how far can I move it? In a loving manner, you can say, oh, yeah, you may have forgot, but it's 90 minutes. And as many times as I can support you and remind you of that, I don't mind doing. So I'll remind you again, it is 90 minutes. So you let me know when you're going to fit those 90 minutes in. And you can kind of step out of it.
I think often the challenge is just to be consistent. And sometimes it's like you're depressed or you're feeling sick or, you're in a weakened state and your kids know that. How can you stay consistent when you're not always feeling at your best?
Well, it would be twofold. And so I think that describes the distant parent for a given time, right? I'm feeling sick, I'm spent, whatever else, which is why I say none of these styles are wrong. I think the consistency piece prior, though, to being sick or whatever it else it is that has me busy or more distant. The consistency in those times, I think, can help carry you through in those times where you can't be as present on it. And why I say this, and I describe this a lot to schools, is we like patterns and our brains like consistency. And the first time we drive somewhere and we don't know where we're going, we're pretty anxious in that first drive. If you were to measure our cortisol levels, they're higher when we're trying to get somewhere, we don't know where we're going. But by the time we've driven there 25 times, if you were to measure our anxiety levels on drive 25, they're much lower. In all honesty, it's that same way for that kid. They know what's coming, they know it's predictable. They're now looking forward to this 90 minutes because it's been set. And in those times, that may help carry you through when you can't do the same amount of reminding and so on. It could be where the kid is on for an hour and 45 minutes, and they say, oh, shoot, I'm 15 minutes over. I've got to go do my reading now because that's what's been the norm and been most consistent.
What about if you haven't already established these habits? Like, say you're looking at your parenting style and you know there's ways that you can improve, but it's like the family culture is already established. And how do you even start to adjust that? Like, when I'm working with young people, it seems easy to go from like tough to loose, but it's very hard to go from loose to more tough, you know?
In those cases, I think you have a conversation with your child and get their input on how it's currently going. Okay. So they're valued and heard. Their perspective is valued and heard. And as the adult that sets a lot of the expectations, have a conversation as to why or when that expectation might move. Provide some thorough understanding as to why, because my guess is there'd be some basis behind why that change has to occur. And then, really, at that point, If you can get the child to understand that, then it's right there that you've got to start that consistency for the next 4, 6, 8 weeks. And if you do that, once you get to week 9 or 10, it's as if that other expectation that was there before, almost didn't exist to whatever extent because you've replaced it with this now. But I would say the open conversation and naming it, would be vital in this.
Doing it again and again and again too seems important.
Yeah, depending on the age of the child. So if you think about like gradual release of responsibility, the hope is we're raising our children to be 18 years old and able to navigate this world. And so setting that expectation, supporting towards the expectation, congratulating on success of the expectation. And then seeing when you can pull back a little and that intrinsic ability of that child to meet that expectation, that actually feels good to them. But the
Yeah.
consistency is key to your point in that.
That brings up a good point, though, of how do parenting styles change as your child gets older? Like a 12-year-old is different than a 17-year-old is different than a 22-year-old.
Yeah, when I think about social emotional development of the kid, or you think about, just developmental stages, a infant needs us for almost everything. But it's still important. When they cry, they need something. And when we respond and their brain calms down, that's building the infrastructure for them to regulate. But as that child grows older and becomes more independent, if you can keep them on track developmentally with whatever the norms are culturally, environmentally, at school, academically, and so on, post puberty, that child wants to take on more. In the same way that that tiger cub sort of wanders away from the pack to do things on their own, we have wiring in us that's prompting us to do that as well. And if you've had the consistency and a lot of these elements that we're describing, that child in those teenage years, they feel a sense of pride and success in doing those things. And at that point, your parenting can change because it's more of a supportive, congratulatory, guiding role as they move out, towards the real world, and less of the repetition of lecturing or teaching and so on, like in those early ages.
What about if you're a more authoritarian parent where it's just like, this is the rule, that's how it is? How do you break out of that?
Chances are, if that is your style, and let me just say this about this style, okay? It will work with some children. And the children it will work with is if you have a child that has experienced the balance of feeling loved with an intact self-esteem, then that style doesn't feel so rigid or direct or punitive to them, okay? If you have a child that doesn't have that, then that child is more at risk of not feeling as valued or heard or capable of contributing to the conversation. And so, because it's all directives and no input, they could feel left out. Chances are, as time goes on, you're going to have two things happen. You're going to have a child that just complies. And I don't want to have this be a strong word, but it could be out of fear-based. Avoiding consequences is my reason for complying. Okay. But that's a deficit way to develop, as opposed to I'm complying because I feel successful and I have this esteem that's building towards being an adult. That's more of a growth strength-based way to develop. Chances are for that parent, they'll see feedback from that child on that as that child gets older. And as a parent, I think we should always be reflective of just, so many things get handed down for generations, but preserving that relationship with our child, because what they're saying is valuable no matter what age. And if we're reflective on what they're saying and what their experience is, you can go from being more of an authoritarian. Okay. So I'm very consistent and predictable with what's expected. But I'm sensing something from my child. My child's having these conversations with me. Maybe I can keep that, but balance that out with telling them I love them, explaining more so why I have these expectations, congratulating them when they're successful, and just doing that alone is starting to round you out to add that warm side. So that authoritarian essentially could become that warm demander if they're self-reflective, aware, and agile enough to adjust to what the need of that child is.
Yeah, that balance of being strong meets warm and welcoming, so
yeah.
important.
Yeah. And same with the more lenient parent. I could have really good relationship and attachment with my child, but I'm sensing that the boundary is stretching a lot further than I want it to. Now, I don't want to jump to the authoritarian and just reel that in very rigidly. But in that same manner, I want to have that conversation and just say, hey, you know, the keys are over here, but we've got to follow the curfew and other things as well. And it's because I care about you and I want you to be safe. When you set those expectations and you follow through on it, that more lenient, passive parent is developing more of that demand consistency side. So now they're becoming the warm demander.
So I guess my greater question in all of this is, why is it important to have that authoritative style? Like, what impact does that have on your child as they grow up?
Yeah, I think it has various. They develop the ability on their own because there's been consistency and expectations there their whole life. That same consistency and expectations are the things that help them feel safe because they know what's coming next, while at the same time building discipline to, by the time you have this young child that's become this teenager and rotating middle school multiple classes, high school multiple classes, the structure of a middle school or high school is very consistent and predictable. They get handed a schedule and so on. So early on, if you are a parent that is instilling that in your child, it's developing that sense in them to understand that that's normal. And then when they end up in these other systems they have to navigate, you've primed them for that. Okay. And then at age 18, if they enter college or the workplace, whatever else, you've been setting that up very early for them. I think the other piece of this is, you know, so those would be more technical. We're in a relational world, and, you know, having worked with schools for the majority of my career, so much has been focused on academics, okay, which is a technical thing. And what we're learning now, you know, in the world of social emotional learning and emotional intelligence and so on, is how important the abilities of a child are to build relationships, have empathy, have the social skills to navigate different places or different realms. And so if you are a parent who has more contact with your child than anybody else in their early years, and you're balanced between having that consistency and structure, which they're going to have in the real world, while also giving them the opportunities firsthand with your relationship and exposing them to other positive relationships with people, then you're rounding out both sides of that child that when they leave us and they leave school and all these systems, they've entered the real world with the ability to understand structure, consistency, and discipline. And within that, meet new people, navigate a workplace, sit in that meeting, and so on. And it won't be a stretch for them to do that because they'll just call that life, because that's all they've known with a parent who was instilling that.
A great note to leave on. Thank you so much for being here today, David.
Okay. Thank you for having me, and take care.
Thank you, behavioral psychologist David Lewis. We appreciate you taking the time to come in, even on a school holiday. So very smart man, very cool guy. So this has been the Parental Compass by Family Education and Support Services. I'm Bobby Williams. Share the show with a friend. We'll see you next episode. Peace.